B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I'll tell you what, hold sit tight 1 second. It's 11 o'clock, and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're at Beasley Media Group Station. All right, brother, here you go. Question number one, what do you love about baseball?
What do I love about baseball? Summertime, sitting outside on the beach, on the deck, tuning the radio on when I was, like, younger, listening to Harry and Whitey on the radio.
Beautiful.
And just being able to, like, doze out. And even when you're on the beach and you can hear, like, other radios.
Yeah, it's the best. Beach. I'm with you.
Well, it's like a 3.5 hour long thing, so you can doze out, doze in.
Yes.
You don't really, and you can ask people what happened. Like, and even on the couch nowadays, you can just pick back up. And
it's great.
It's just a total relaxing environment.
All right, give me a game that you want to relive that's special to you, Sean.
Okay. Well, my father passed when I was 7 years old. And my sainted mom, you know, who's still around, had to raise four of us. So, Tunis, never take your father for granted, which it doesn't sound like you do. So I never got a chance to go to a game with my father. So my mom, the first game I can remember going to, my mom got us all to a game, and I'll never forget it. Down the bat.
That's beautiful,
we were playing the Expos. And I have an older brother, and two sisters, right? So my older brother said, well, let's make up like a song to sing. So, I'm 7 years old. Of course, you know, I'm vulgar and whatever. So I say, Expos, you can suck my big toes. I will never, as long as I live, and I don't remember, that's the first game I ever remember
that's
going
cool.
to.
Ever, that's so. Very cool. Give me baseball with the senses, the first sense of the five senses that comes to mind.
Well, I thought about this one. It has to be smell. Because if you're deaf and blind, your smells are going to be activated. And even if you do have your sense of sight and hearing, the minute you get close to that stadium, the minute you walk in, you almost smell like the bubble gum, you know?
Yeah.
Smell like the stuff being like, you smell like stuff being cooked. And the sense of smell is the first thing that hits you if you don't have anything else. That's just it.
How about this one? Four, give me your favorite baseball gear, like T-shirt or tchotchke, something like that.
When I was a kid, they used to give you the ice cream in like little tiny helmets, man.
I love that. Yeah. I'm with it. Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen.
I love the Dairy Queen.
It was like maroon helmet. Yeah,
I love that. That was great.
Well, it was only $4. It wasn't $13 because of the Dairy Queen.
Yeah. And lastly, give me a Philly you love and a Philly you hate the most.
Okay. Well, I hate Andy Van Slyke. Because, like, when we got him, he thought he was going to be awesome. And his first game here, like, he had a bad game. He didn't even talk to anybody. He walked out with his son. And then a Philly I love, Von Hayes, man. Von Hayes was like my man growing up.
Wow, five for one.
Check I love
that out. That's awesome. That is great. Great call, brother. Great call, Sean. How about that, Tunis? Did you like the little helmets?
I do. I have one of those still.
Do you?
I was, I used it for the cat's food bowl.
Oh, that rules, man.
Until the dog ate it.
Very cool.
So I
love
it. I still have it somewhere. It's just
that's
destroyed.
Good. It's good.
By the way, I got to ask you something because this thought just crossed my mind. Would it add to the pain, or do you have any interest to see what the Phillies starting lineup would have been today?
No, I want to know.
You want to?
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, they're not going to post it because remember, Cutchin wouldn't have been ready yet.
No, I want to know.
I kind of want to know, like, you know, what would you have done?
It's the same way where I want to know what the NCAA tournament would have looked like.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they had the bracket.
Yes. They're considering doing that. They just never did.
Yeah, I would want to see that, honestly. We're going to bite off a mic and do one because my cousin did movie lines, and he put a lot of work into it. It's awesome. You'll love it, Bob.
All 64?
Yeah.
Wow, good work by him.
It's incredible. It's great. It really is. It's great.
Anything from Billy Madison or other great movies like that?
There's all classic lines. We'll go through it. It's all classic lines. Let's go to Steve and Trap. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stevie.
Hey, guys. Happy spring to you, man.
You too, brother.
You guys are so awesome always to listen to, no matter what's going on.
Thanks,
what's
buddy.
Crazy is you just mentioned the car show. That's the last time I called in when you guys were at the car show.
Oh,
and I called
cool,
in.
Man.
I was
How
in
you
my
holding
car.
Up during this stuff.
I went for myself. I loaded up on material, working at home, doing my sister's kitchen not too far away, and staying positive. You know, the sports has been a little rough. Huge hockey fan. The way the Flyers have been playing lately. But we'll get through, man. It's going to make it appreciated that much more when we have it all back. We take too many things for granted, maybe, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right about that, brother. And, you know, listen, the bright side of this thing is for those of us that are healthy and safe and are at home, we can rekindle that time with our kids and our family and our parents and everybody. So that's
we need to slow down a little bit, like you just talked about, breaking things out when your kids are older. I have baseball cards stacked away from the 70s.
Wow.
I don't have children, but, man, I will sit there and look at those cards. I used to build a team. Put them in the position.
Yes.
There was nothing like it.
I'm still paying
for heating that gum out of those packs that I did to my teeth.
That's the truth, man. That's the truth.
But,
What do you love about it? What do you love about baseball?
Oh, man, there's so many things. Where I was on the different opening days, it's the springtime, the start of a new spring, summer, you know, like the start of a new year. You get outside. I played growing up. I've been on teams that didn't win a game. I won on teams that didn't lose a game. You know, just the ups and downs of each pitch. You know, and then when it gets down to October and you're in it, you know, we've only been in two of them. And we've only won two of them, I should say. And we still love it. You imagine if we were the Yankees or St. Louis where they win? It's expected to win every so often.
I know.
And we still love it. We live and breathe with it. Every night, you know, is just planned around that game when it's playoff time. But, the list is just going to run into everything today, I think, with what you're asking, the five questions and what people are talking about and how you guys started the show out. Oh, my goodness, the memories of playing, the bruises. Like your partner said, you know, your body is a living testament to playing the game.
Man.
It is unbelievable. And to see these young people into it today, I just worked for a couple customers. 8-year-old kid, he loves baseball. To me,
it's
man,
awesome.
It's just, and it's not even, you know, like I said, I played street hockey every day for 10 years growing up. But to hear that, to these young kids, and it's going to get passed on to the next generation, the purity of it. You know, we never argued with an umpire. The respect of that guy, you know, with that big chest protector back in the day. When we played on our own, I'm sure we always argued. We always fought. But when you were on that field and you had a uniform on, it was different. You know, you respected your elders, especially the umpires, you know, and your coaches. They taught you life lessons, not only the game and playing the game. It was life.
Yeah, buddy. I love it, man. That's great passion you're showing, man. That is great passion.
You
Stevie.
Bring it out of me. You know, being from Philly, you said you've been to 60 games a year. I don't know if I've been. I'm out in the western suburbs. I don't know if I've been to 60 pro games in all four sports. But
well, we used to go as a kid. Like, you know, again, when like my mother and my aunt would look for things to do with the kids, right? So, like, going to a game was a big deal. I mean, I'm telling you, from the time I could see, I could walk. I remember going to the vet, walking up the ramps. We would stop. Like, we would bring sandwiches. We'd stop. Sometimes we'd bring, you know, there was a place on 13th and Oregon called Oregon Steaks. We would go get a steak sandwich. I mean, like, and then I got older, like, you hung out there. Like, that was a place to hang, the vet. Oh, man, great memories, brother. Stevie, give me your Philly that you love, the Philly that you hate the most.
I got to go with Michael Jackson. Just growing up, he was the man. I loved him always. And I'll tell you, there's not too many I hate, but how about Lance Parrish? When we expected something and we got nothing. Rowan's right there, too, but thought I'd go off the charts a little bit there.
I love it. That's great, brother. Good stuff, man. Thank you, Stevie. Good call, buddy. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. What would have been opening day today? We will relive some a great moment in 08 Phillies and Dodgers NLCS. And we got one of the great baseball treasures. How about it, Junis? One of our favorite guys, Larry Boa, is going to join us at 11:20, coming right up. So hang out and take a listen to Bo. He's one of the greatest. We love him. It's Cuz Radio hanging with Junis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
All right. Welcome back. 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. I got the Phillies on the brain, Junis. Oh, my God. Oh, it's classic. I'm talking to my boy. On a text board, Emilio from the Bruno Brothers, he goes, Mike, those Phillies giveaway days were the best. The small bats, the bottle bat. And he said, my favorite item was the Larry Boa jersey t-shirt. Boa is a huge favorite of all the kids growing up, man. Oh, my God. He was a huge favorite. Do we have him, Junis? Okay, we're gonna have Larry shortly to talk about this opening day. I don't wanna do this to you, but I have to because the Junis already did it to me. So this is what we would have had today. You ready? Full slate of baseball, Phillies at 4 o'clock. The Flyers we would have had at 7:30. The Sixers, we would have had at 8 o'clock, and we would have had 4 Sweet 16 games. Are you kidding me? I want to cry. It's unbelievable. We would have had all those events today. Just the baseball alone, right? Just opening day. Talking Phils. You know, Nola. Here's Taste of Cake Tom on the text board. Freeze strikes out 7 today. 7 strong from Nola today.
The other thing that stinks is all three teams were bad teams, so we could have had a 3-0 day. It was Phillies Marlins, even though the Marlins give the Phillies fits for some reason.
Yeah.
It would have been Flyers Red Wings and then Sixers Bulls.
Wow. And then 4 Sweet 16 games. Oh, that's a sports gasmic day. Is that not a sportsgasmic day?
No, it really is, and it sucks. I'm sorry that I read that to you, and now I apologize to the audience because you read it to them, and it makes me even more sad. I'm already sad today because of opening day. That makes it worse.
All right, since we're not in the same room, I always want to. We can talk about this. So I want to go to Marty while we wait for Larry. Is that cool?
Yeah, I see the bubble is coming back from Larry right now on the text board. So I'll let you know when he's ready to go.
All right, let's go to Marty. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, hey, Anthony. How you doing, man?
What's up, Marty? How you doing, brother?
Oh, man, you guys are killing me. We would have had 3 for 3 for the day with the Phils, Flyers, and Sixers.
Yeah.
Oh,
4, damn. 7:30, 8 o'clock, and 4 Sweet 16 games and a full slate of baseball.
My wife would have killed me. I would have had my phone on for the NCAA. I would have had the TV on for the Phillies because right about now, man, nothing is going to beat my Phillies. I mean, I'm not a diehard Flyers and Sixers fan, but just still having just them on, having a day like this, man.
I know, dude. Oh, it's a killer. I would watch Royals White Sox right now. Oh my God.
You know what? I'm actually a White Sox fan, too. I mean, Phillies first, but man, I like the White Sox back in the day with the big hurt.
The big hurt,
the blackjack.
I covered the big hurt. I was in Chicago for Blackjack McDowell. Jack McDowell.
And real quick, real quick about the White Sox. I end up going to
wait a second.
Orioles
sit
White
tight.
Sox
Do me a favor. Sit tight. Yeah. All right. I got Larry on the line.
Go, get Bo first. Get
all
first.
Right. And I'll come back to you, Marty.
Anyway.
All right.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Let me get one of the legends up here. We're just talking about him. He is a Philadelphia treasure. That's right, on the Comcast Business Hotline, Larry Boa. Bo!
What's up, Ant?
Oh, man, brother. Today would have been opening day.
I know. It's tough times right now, but, you know, we got to stay strong and obey the rules. And,
yes.
Hopefully we're back out there sooner rather than later, but this is more important than any sport. And I know we're all sports fanatics here in Philadelphia, and there's a big void in our life right now, but we got to take care of what's going on out there right now.
Amen, brother. Amen. And first, how you doing? How you doing with all this?
I'm doing good, Anthony. I just came up from Florida. I stayed down there an extra week. I thought maybe that they would keep the facilities open, but it seems like it's just going to be open for rehab guys.
Yeah.
And so basically most of the players went to their home bases and are waiting like everybody else, saying a lot of prayers. And, you know, it's tough because you turn on the news and it's very depressing right now. So you try to stay positive, and it's tough right now.
You know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to kind of get lost in sports and what we kind of love about them. And so it's like today on the show, it's the Philly Five. It's the five things, five questions about the Phillies and what we love about baseball, what we enjoy, and our favorite players. And
right.
So we're trying to get into that kind of conversation, because I do think that sports can be medicinal, in that it can take your mind. I mean, you put on CNN and you just want to, you know, jump off a bridge.
You know? I know. And, you know, and I look back at 9/11, and, you know, when was the right time to go back? Nobody really knew, but we did know that once we did get on the field, it would take people's minds away for maybe 2 hours or 3 hours. And we're not forgetting what happened, but it sort of eases your mind a little bit. But you guys do a good job, man, talking on the radio and everything, and trying to stay positive, because there's really not too much we can do. We just got to, you know, obey the rules more than anything. You know, the distancing, washing your hands, when you go outside to walk and everything, whether you're riding a bike, walking, or jogging, you know, don't take advantage of it. I saw in a paper in Chicago where people were running like it was a 5K race, and the governor said that he's going to have to shut down Michigan Avenue if they continue to do that. So we gotta obey the rules. I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, amen, brother. You're so right. So right about that. I'm curious, and I want to talk a little bit about the game itself and then kind of have some fun with you.
But, okay.
We're going through this time, and you know, with the self-distancing and being at home, time's different, right? We don't have the same hustle and bustle, so we're forced to almost have a different approach to life.
Yeah.
And in the positive sense, it's like, you know, we're kind of embracing the slowness of life a little bit, and time. And I started to think about baseball, and you know how, you know, you've heard it a million times about, you know, times are so fast, and the electronics and kids and their brains,
right,
and the game being slow. I almost think, my theory is that we're going to have a rekindling for the love of the game. And not guys like you or me,
right,
but like other younger people. And I think the baseball is going to make a big comeback, like, because we're getting used to a slower pace.
You know what, Ant? I agree with you. You know that saying, slow down and smell the roses?
Yes.
I think sometimes we get caught up in our world, and everything, as you said, is fast-paced, and we don't really appreciate the finer things in life. And I think the fact that what we're going through right now, no one wants to go through it, but it's making you understand that the things that are important to you, your family, people around you, when you are walking and you keep your social distancing, everybody seems to be congenial. They're waving, yes, or saying hi. I agree with that 100%. Even though we're going through a very tough time right now, it makes us stop and smell the roses, so to speak, and appreciate what we do have. This, we will overcome this. We've overcome a lot of things, our country, and there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to get back to where we should be. But it's going to take time, and it's going to take patience, and it's going to take that saying, you know, we are in this together. That means, yes, everybody, no matter what you do, where you live, we're in this together, and we got to fight it like we're one. And
that's
hopefully,
right,
hopefully we can get this thing resolved, as I said, sooner rather than later.
Yeah. If we do, and I saw the commissioner talking about this in there, and listen, he's got to be able to come up with different ideas. It's really tough right now because we don't know what the future lies,
right,
and we don't know when we can come back. What is your thought on a possibly going into November and doing a neutral site World Series?
You know what, Nance? I mean, I know they're trying to get all these games back and everything. I just don't think it would be fair for the fan base if you happen to be the team. Like, say, just, yeah, say the Phillies, because I had a good vibe down there, Ant, before all this.
Oh, really?
I like our team. But it would be really unfair that say we started up and we did win, and now we have to go to Houston, or we have to go where there's a dome in Tampa, or we have to go to the West Coast where the weather's better. I think you're doing your fans a bad service right there, because especially here in Philly, I mean, we have some avid baseball fans. For us to go out there, and if we happen to win and say, oh, by the way, you guys are going to play your playoff games in Houston, Texas, I think you're hurting your fan base. But I understand that people want, yeah, baseball. It's going to be a tough call, and that's why the commissioner is going to have to make this call. I think they're going to try to get as many games in as they possibly can. There was even rumors saying that when it did start up, there might be doubleheaders that are seven innings each game,
wow,
like in the minor league. So, but again, now you're starting to deal with records and things, yeah, of that nature. So there's more into this than just saying, oh, yeah, this is what we're going to do. So the people up top are going to have some tough decisions to make. And again, hopefully the decisions come sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Doubleheaders, man. But it makes me think of going to watch you play 5:35 twilight, yep, doubleheaders where they great.
Exactly. They were fun. I mean, I didn't like doubleheaders, a lot of them, but every now and then you like those because, you, yeah, know, it's a continuous game. It's one admission. You get to watch two games, and, you know, you sort of deal with it. And I think these players are very adaptable to whatever they come up with. Obviously, it's going to have to be agreed with the players and the owners. And I know all these guys would love to be playing right now, but obviously we know there's other problems that are much bigger than a baseball game.
We're talking to the great Larry Boa on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Bo, let's have some fun for a second. And I want you to kind of take me back into you as the baseball treasure of Philadelphia, like synonymous with the game in Philadelphia. And when you think about the love affair that Philadelphia has with the Phillies and the sport, and listen, that includes all the grousing, right, that we do.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It's a great thing. You know, when I go down to spring training, we talk to kids that are coming up through the minor leagues. I tell them it's the greatest place in the world to play. I said, you have to be mentally tough to play here. And they appreciate when you play nine innings and 27 outs. And that's how I approach this game. And I think that's why that I've been accepted in this city, is that I played the game the right way. You know, I never gave up. Obviously, the odds were against me, never playing high school baseball, not getting drafted. But the fact that I persevered and played a long time and got over 2,000 hits. I mean, it's a blue collar. I had a blue collar mentality, and it was a perfect town for me to play in. If I'd have played somewhere else, Ant, I really don't know if I'd have stayed in the big leagues, because,
wow,
this city really motivated me to the point where, you know, I wanted to prove to them that somebody took a chance with me and it paid off. And I tried to tell these kids, if you work hard and don't go through the motions some games. You know, it's a grind. It's a grind to play baseball. It's a hard game to play. But these fans here, they appreciate what you do. And if you do it day in and day out, I'm not going to tell you that you're never going to get booed. You know, part of being a good baseball player is the fact that you're getting booed. They care.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is when you do things well, and I keep reverting back to that parade at the very first World Series ever in Philly in 1980, that's something you take to your grave with. That is something nobody will ever take away from you. And I wish every player that puts on a uniform could go through something that we went through like that, because you really appreciate the game more when you look back on that and say, man, that was a grind. But to say, hey, we were the best in 1980 over every single team in baseball, that's something you can be very proud of. And the fact that,
especially
again,
that like
getting drafted and everything, it even meant more to me than anything.
And the journey. I was telling Andrew, because he's younger, and I was telling him, listen, I love Citizens Bank Park. It's the greatest.
Right.
I love that place.
Right.
It's beautiful. But the vet had 68,000 people, 70,000 people. Like nobody, you saw that place rocking.
Hey, Hans, I'm telling you, that when they brought on the horses, and there was like a lull in the action, I reverted back to when I was throwing a ball against the wall saying, hey, there's a ground ball, and everybody picks it up, throws it first, and they win the World Series. And I say to myself, do I want that ground ball right now? But all these things were going through my mind when these horses were coming out. And like you said, we had 70,000 people on the stands, and they were going crazy. I mean, if people could, the people that never got a chance to see that, if you could have just felt the energy in that ballpark in that ninth inning, it's something that as an athlete, as a fan, that you never, ever forget. And that's the one thing that you grab onto and say, man, those were special times.
Oh, and the journey that because of going to the playoffs, 76, 77, 78, and
right.
The series where – I mean, they were, it's like bloodletting, man. That Black Friday. I was the game. Are you kidding me? It was horrible.
It was terrible. And, you know, we had teams, you know, I talked to Charlie a lot, and he says, you know, Bo, he's talking about his team. He says, we should have won three or been in three World Series. And I said, and we were the same boat, but we kept playing Cincinnati and the Dodgers. We had the
Red
Machine. And then if we had instant replay, the Davey Lopes play, if that comes on with instant replay, he's out at first base. Who knows what would have happened? But all the times you got kicked and put down in those playoffs, it was worth the wait. I mean, at the time it happened, you said, man, if we're ever going to get here again, and then in 80, we did get there again. But you look back and you say, we had some pretty good teams from 75 on.
Oh, and, incredible.
Yep. And I look at, you know, people try to compare the two teams, the 08 and the 80. It's very difficult because it's two complete different games that's played now.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, you put Schmitty and Bull in Citizens Bank Ballpark, no telling how many home runs those guys hit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you remember the vet, you had to hit balls to get them out of the ballpark. So the game was a lot different, but they were two good teams. The 08 team was an outstanding team, and our team was an outstanding team. It would have been fun to watch if you could do that, but, you know, we all know that would never have happened. But I like to compare the two, and it's pretty evenly matched, really.
It really was. I mean, it's amazing. But both those teams were great clutch players.
Yeah.
Great. You know, the similarities between the two teams were the incredible clutchness and great baseball acumen, right? Like with you and Pete and Schmitty and Booney behind the plate and with Chase and, you know, Jimmy, oh my God, and Ryan and Chooch behind the plate. The same kind of baseball acumen you guys both had.
Yeah, and, you know, take a look at the pitching. You know, we had the big guy, Carlton, on the mound, and they had their starting pitching, which was very good, but you know, it's just fun to reminisce. And, you know, going through times like this, you get to reminisce a lot. And I've been watching the MLB station. I saw that 23-22 game played at Wrigley Field. And some of the things you forget a little bit about. And as soon as you see it, you go, oh, yeah, I remember that play. I remember that. And then going to Montreal in 80 and Schmitty coming up with a big home run there. And these things, you sit down sometimes, you forget about it, but when – when you're isolated like this and there's really not a lot to do,
yeah,
you start looking back and the memories, it doesn't take long to remember, oh, yeah, I remember that play, or I remember getting that hit at that time. It was just, it's fun to watch.
What do you remember from 23-22?
I remember that that Schmitty, yeah, this is unbelievable because the wind was howling out, okay, and
yeah.
Schmitty was in a little funk, and I was sitting right next to Danny Ozark, and Schmitty says, hey, Danny, you know, I need to get on track here. Let's put a few hit and runs on. And I looked at Schmitty, and I went, Schmitty, you're going to tell Danny to put a hit and run on with you hitting? Are you kidding me? You can hit it by your knuckles and the ball go out. And the fact is he hit two home runs that game. But that still stood out in my mind more than anything. That was one thing. And the other thing that stood out, Ange, was Randy Lurch, who started that game. You know, he had the three previous games he pitched really good, and we didn't get any runs. And I know he didn't mean it, but he made a statement like, he said, man, if we score some runs there, I have three wins in a row. And so, you know, as an everyday player, you read that and you go, yeah. Oh, really? So we go out and score six runs, and I remember going right by him, and I said, hey, is that enough for you? And I kept running, and he didn't get out of the first inning. He gave up seven, so... Stuff like that, it stands out in your mind because, you know, I said, I remember when Randy said that. I know he didn't mean anything by it, but when you're a player, you know, oh, we got some runs. And I said, well, we got six at the top of the first. I said, and he looked at me like, really? And he didn't get out.
That is awesome. You know, it's, it made me think about, too, the media. Imagine, oh, it was so different, man. Like,
it was tough, man. I mean, when you think about the media, the media today is good, but everything is, I don't know, they're a lot tamer, I think.
Yes.
Because obviously the analytics, it's hard to second guess because, you know, when you have all the analytic information and you bring in a right-hander to face a left-handed hitter, back in the day, if you did that and the left-handed hitter got a hit, you would get crucified, whether you were manager, whether you were the pitcher. But now, because the analytics are so strong in the game, it says, hey, this guy hits 30 points less when he's facing a right-hander, so you bring in the right-hander. So if you wanted to second-guess as a manager or as a player, you just say, you know what, the analytics said this was the right way to go. So the writers were a little bit more, they were tougher, I think, when we played, but obviously – the information they have now and everything, I think it's a lot easier to be tamer, if you want to use that word.
Yeah.
They're not as tough on players now as back in the day because they could go for your neck at times, Stamp. You know, you covered this team, and at times, you know, you didn't even want to pick up the paper, but it's a lot better now. There's no question about that.
No, and the other thing that's different is, oh my God, the social media. Wait, guys.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I put it this way.
Really?
Yes, I'm glad we didn't have that because, you know, we used to hang out after a game.
Yeah.
If we were on the road and you went into our hotel we're staying, you could see five or six guys sitting down having a beer and talking about the game of baseball. You can't do that now because people are taking pictures of you. And it's tough for players now. You got to go to your room and play video games.
It's so weird. Know. It sucks.
Really is weird.
It sucks because, like, it's a shame because that there's nothing better than going back and talking about the game. Like, having a couple beers and talking about the game is the greatest.
And we used to, at home, I remember us staying till 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning after a game, whether we won or lost, going over what could I have done better, or, man, what about this play? Do you think we did this right? Or, but you learn a lot by talking with your teammates. But again, with the social media now, obviously back then we could have a beer after in the clubhouse. Yeah. They don't allow that anymore because of accidents and things of that nature. But those are things I think players don't realize, that those were really times where you got to bond together.
Yeah.
Whether you won, like I said, whether you won or whether you lost. And we were very critical of each other after a ball game sitting around, and guys didn't take it personal. They took it as constructive criticism. And we really learned a lot by talking to one another.
Yeah, yeah. You bust each other's balls. Nobody's crying. It was great. I got two quick things that I'll let you go, and I really appreciate this. One, we're replaying games every day at 12:20, we pick a different game.
Right.
And we do four games. We do like basketball, baseball, hockey,
right,
and football, right? So today we're doing Phillies, Dodgers, the Stairs game, because you were the third base coach.
Yeah, I was.
For the Dodgers. Yeah.
And he crushed it.
Yeah. What do you remember about that?
I remember that Broxton came in and tried to throw a fastball by him, and the ball's still going. You know, we 2 years in a row we got eliminated by him.
Yeah.
I guess if I had to say, as much as you know me, I hate losing, but if I had to lose to somebody, I guess it was because of the Phillies, where I've grown up, and this has been my entire life here. But those were good games. They were good baseball games, and that's going to be a good game to talk about. But they came up big when they had to. I mean, Victor Hamill had a big home run that day.
Yes.
And Stairs hit a bomb. And Broxton had trouble against the Phillies. No matter if you played in L.A. or if you played at Citizens Bank Park, he had trouble getting Philadelphia Philly hitters out. And
I remember before the series, Charlie says, you watch. He goes, there's going to be a moment when I'm going to use Stairs. Anthony, you watch. I'm going to use Stairs. And he's going to throw dead red, and Stairs going to hit a long way.
He did.
All right. Then the last thing is, get me excited for when the boys come back, because you were down there. What do you think about the squad, man?
Our squad, I really like it. I'm telling you, Ant, I this is the first time I can honestly say I felt good about our lineup. And the fact, even though, like I said, we don't want this to happen, but the fact McCutchen now is probably going to be, whenever we do start up, if we do start up, he's probably going to be healthy to start the season. We got a kid, I don't know if you had a chance to see him, this kid Howard, his pitcher.
Yeah.
He's the real deal. And I know they were going to watch his innings this year. And who knows, he might go down if we start up or when we start up and pitch a couple games in the minor leagues. It wouldn't shock me at all to see this kid up here. He's a top of the rotation type pitcher. And you go with Zach Wheeler and Nola, and you put a guy like this guy up there, and Arrieta and Eflin. I like our team. I like our lineup. I like the fact that Segura really liked playing third base. Didi Gregorius is going to really help our team. He's great in the clubhouse. I know he didn't get very many hits in spring training, and I could care less about that. But this guy can still play shortstop, and he's going to hit. Believe me,
he's got power from that side too. So he's got power there.
Yeah. Like I said, Harper had a monster spring. I mean, he was locked in right from the start. JT was swinging the bat exceptionally well. Kingery liked the fact that he was playing one position. He really looked good at second base. So from top to bottom, and we had three like non-roster guys, like Forsythe and Harrison and Walker. They're not even on the roster, and they were making bids to make our team. So it's going to be interesting, like I said, if and when we start up, what they're going to do, because I don't know if all three can make it. That's going to be something that Matt and Joe Girardi are going to have to figure out. But all three of them did a very good job in spring training. And you're talking about a veteran bench. They've all played in the big leagues for a long period of time. So you got that kind of stuff coming off the bench. And I'm looking at, if we do start up, there's going to be doubleheaders, and you have those guys like that sitting on the bench, maybe playing second game a doubleheader. You got some pretty good depth there. So I'm really excited about this team. And again, I wish we could have started, but the fact remains we've got to clean this up here, get this virus out, and then hopefully we can start up and the fans can see what kind of ball club we have. Cause it's the first time I can honestly say that I really think this team was ready to make a move this year.
You always speak from the heart, too. You never BS. That's why I love you. You always are real. And I know you love Girardi, too. Because
we've made some good hires. Girardi and Price, outstanding pitching coach. I was with him in Seattle when I was coaching with Lou Piniella. Juan Castro, the infield coach, and Joe Dillon, to me, done a tremendous job with our hitters. I really like the selection of our coaches. Our manager's been through it all in New York. He's been in World Series. He's been through ups. He's been through downs. Like I said, I think everything's pointing in the right direction, and hopefully we can get it started and let people really appreciate what we're going to put on the field this year.
I love it. Bo, you are the greatest, man. I love you.
I'll be listening to you guys, and I know that for 3-4 hours, we can take our mind off what's going on outside here, but we got to stick together. We got to obey the rules, and hopefully sooner rather than later, we'll be back out there.
Amen, brother. You're a great leader. Thank you. Thank
you. All right, Anthony. Take care.
There he is, the great Larry Bowie. He's the best. And he's a leader, Tunis.
I love hearing him talk baseball, man.
Ah, he's the best. You know, he is. He's a guy. He's like Charlie. Larry is, you know, again, you know, he was a huge favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up.
Well, as a player for you, but for me as a manager, too.
He
was that fiery manager. So his first year was 2001. I mean, that was prime me getting into baseball years as a fan. And just, I remember seeing Larry storming out of the dugout, getting ejected. He was great.
Well, you know what is amazing? Like, this is why I love the guy, right? And I understand the players, they're like, you know, stop wearing on me or making faces. Bo just wanted to win.
Yes.
Bo was a guy, he was a competitive dude. So whatever the game was, right? You know, it could be pick up, pool, or he could be shooting pool, whatever it is. Pick up, you know, a wiffle ball. He want to win. You know, because, I mean, and that's how, I don't know, I'm like that too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're like that. We want to win. We're sports people.
Oh,
like,
if I lost, I'd have to play again.
Right, right. Like, you're competitive by your, in that nature. And so that's all that was about. But he was a treasure, like a Philadelphia treasure. Dude, I can sit back. I think back into my own life, right? And my mother used to have Bo was her favorite player, and she used to have the Phillies, the red maroon filled with the big fat P.
Yeah, the fat P.
And Bo on the back. I mean, it's unbelievable. I could close my eyes and I could see her wearing that shirt. It was her favorite shirt because she was a huge Bo fan. And we had a friend of ours that had a pharmacy. And, you know, a lot of guys would go there if they needed stuff, your family, whatever. But it was this is before all the big box pharmacies. It was Irira Pharmacy. And it was on like 21st and Jackson, 22nd and Jackson. And the guys would go. And we would go, and Joe Irira, who owned the pharmacy, they were family friends of ours. Like, and all of a sudden, oh, Larry's going to be here. Schmitty's going to be here. One of the guys. And we would always go and see them. And it was the best. They were the greatest. You know. Great times, man. Like, great, like, Phillies times.
And can you guess his first year's opening day lineup? 2001 was his first season as a manager here.
All right.
It's actually not as bad as you would think.
Really?
Yes. This was like the start of, like, okay, there's somewhat of a bright future coming.
Okay, so it's 2001.
Yes.
So I'll go, I'll say that, let me go back. First of all, Roland had to be third base, right?
Yes, and he batted cleanup that game.
So he batted cleanup that game.
Two for three, two RBIs, a home run.
Did he really?
Yep. Screw Scott Rowland.
All right. Abreu?
Yep. He was batting third and right.
Let me think. Was Burl up?
Yes. He batted fifth in left field. So you got the 3, 4, 5 hitters there.
Who hit leadoff? Glanville?
Yes. Doug Glanville in center field. He had a home run in opening day of 2001.
Did he really?
Yes. He went 3 for 7.
Wow. Did he really?
Yes. I love Doug Glanville.
All right. Who am I missing? I'm missing the two-hitter. Well, Lieberthal was trying to play, right?
Yes. He batted 7th.
All right. So I got, what do I got? I got Glanville 1. Who do I got? I got Abreu.
He was 3.
Roland. And who else did I say?
Burl and Lieberthal.
Burl.
So you need shortstop, first base, second base.
Okay, shortstop, first base, second base. Was Travis Lee the first baseman?
Travis Lee was the first baseman. He batted 6th.
All right. Man, shortstop, 2001?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Jimmy, was it?
Rookie year. Jimmy Rollins.
Wow. Yep. J-Roll, baby.
2000 was the last year of that Desi Relaford.
Wow. All right. So what do I just need? Second base?
Second base. And he was a mutt. Played a long time in the league.
Did he really?
Yeah.
La, 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 la. I don't know. Give me a hit.
Starts with an M. There's your hint.
Oh, I know it. How about that Marlon Anderson?
Yes, Marlon Anderson. And your opening day starter was that Omar Dahl.
The Dahl!
Yes.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Oh, my God. Omar Dahl.
His opening day start, 5 1/3, 4 earned, 2 home runs.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, my God. That is great.
How about one of those home runs by that Cliff Floyd?
Wow. Cliff Floyd.
I love
check
these
that
names.
Out. Oh, my God. All right. My shout out to the uncles. Uncle Greg. Uncle Greg is listening. Family Crusher Dodge Jeep Ram. In fact, Uncle
great
Greg,
baseball man.
He's a great baseball man. He was just saying he had lunch with Boa at the saloon.
Oh, is that right?
Over the holidays.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
A legendary. That's three legends. It's Uncle Greg, Larry Boa, and the saloon. It's the Philadelphia legend. All right, we're going to come back and open up the phone lines again, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. It's Cuss Radio with Tunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.